seen some work from the Texas Childhood Obesity Prevention Policy Evaluation Project. And as part of this project, we're examining the differences in proposed safe routes to school implementation by type of funding application. I don't have any disclosures or relationships to disclose, and I did want to acknowledge, though, that this work was partially supported by 3 grants from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. All right, so just a little bit of background on this topic. As I'm sure most of you know, there is a national childhood obesity epidemic, and we have more than a third of children and adolescents who are overweight or obese. And one of the leading contributors to this obesity epidemic is energy imbalance between food intake and physical activity. So basically, we are taking in more energy than we need and more energy than we're using. So while diet is one of the issues impacting this, children have also increased the amount of time they spend in sedentary behaviors. Most notably, in the recent past, screen time has gone up. And because of this and other sedentary behaviors, children are not meeting the current physical activity guidelines of 1 hour or more of daily physical activity. There are many opportunities that exist in our environment to increase the physical activity into a child's daily routine and get them up to that 1 hour or more per day. One of these is walking or biking to and from school, called active commuting to school, or ACS for short. So that's what I'll be talking mostly about today. Walking and biking used to be the most common mode of transport to and from school, but rates have declined tremendously. According to the National Personal Transportation Survey, which is a longitudinal survey conducted by the U.S. Department of Transportation, less than 16% of elementary-aged kids are walking to and from school. And this is down, and that was in 2001, and this is down from approximately 49% of students in this age group who reported walking in 1969. So that was quite some years ago, but still it's, surprising to see that dramatic decline from 1969 when it was 49% to now lower than 16%. All right, so just in a little bit of an overview on the policy in Texas now. To be considered a comprehensive program, what we want the program to have is what they call the 5 E's. So this is education, enforcement, encouragement, evaluation, and engineering. So these should all be included in a Safe Routes to School program. And in Texas, there are 2 major types of grants that were awarded. So there's the non-infrastructure, or what we sometimes call a planning grant. And this is a detailed Safe Routes to School plan. And it also might include some potential infrastructure changes as part of the plan, things that they would like to do later on. But it's mostly the plan itself. And then there's also applications can be submitted for infrastructure grants. So these are more construction projects, putting in crosswalks, sidewalks, signs, additional lighting, anything to the physical environment of the school that is intended to increase walkability and accessibility. And in order for schools or communities to apply for the infrastructure grant, they first have to have some sort of safe routes to school plan in place before they can apply for those physical construction infrastructure grants. And so kind of looking again at the 5 E's, for non-infrastructure grants, they would mostly talk about the first 3, education, enforcement, and encouragement, while infrastructure grants should consider all of those, all 5. And then one more important thing to note about this before I move on is the costs associated with implementing these plans are reimbursed. So the schools and communities are applying for these grants, but they have to cover the cost up front, and then they're later reimbursed. So this is a look at Texas in our sample. So you can see that we covered a large geographic area, pretty wide range across Texas there. So why is this important? Well, we can see just from looking at this active commuting data from our TCOPE project that there are differences in the reported rates of active commuting, and there are significant differences when looking when comparing the schools that received infrastructure and non-infrastructure funding compared to the control groups that did not apply or were not awarded funding. So 7.5 in the control group, 7.5% of active commuting, and then 12.2 in non-infrastructure, 13.2 in infrastructure in the morning commute. So looking at these percentages, you can see the importance of having a detailed plan in place if we're hoping to increase the active commuting rates in children. And then at the top of the chart there is the, just to kind of give you a visual, to see how far we are below where we were back in 1969, that's 49% that were actively commuting to school, and we're way down there at the bottom. So this study is part of a larger study, a larger TCOPE study, and the purpose of this study, the sub-study, is to evaluate the differences in proposed Safe Routes to School implementation by type of funding application, looking at the infrastructure and non-infrastructure grant applications. It's a qualitative cross-sectional content analysis of the applications that were awarded funding in 2007. The state of Texas provided us with 25 applications from infrastructure schools and 19 from non-infrastructure schools. And then these were reviewed. They were independently hand-coded into categories of interest by two research team members. And the categories that they were put into are motivation for applying, barriers to active commuting, solutions and strategies to overcome those barriers, stakeholder support, and action plans. So to get into the results, first, the first thing we looked at, motivation for applying. We found that more non-infrastructure schools cited health as their first priority, 84.2%. said that health was their first priority in applying for this type of funding, and only 52% of the infrastructure schools mentioned health was a goal. And then for barriers, the infrastructure schools reported that missing or insufficient walkways, that was the number, that was the highest response, and for non-infrastructures, walkways that were not accessible to students with disabilities. And here's kind of just a breakdown of more of the barriers that were reported, all the ones that were cited and categorized. So some other common barriers were no safe place to ride a bike to school, crossing streets are dangerous, the bike parking at school is insufficient, and dangerous driving, drop-off, pickup creates congestion. So those were just some of the other concerns. For looking at solutions, safety was listed first on just 64% of infrastructure school applications and only 21% of non-infrastructure. And then an increasing number of students that use active transport, 72% of the infrastructure schools noted that, and all of the non-infrastructure. And then improving the safety of the students that currently use active commuting to school. 96% of the infrastructure schools reported that, and all of the non-infrastructure. All right, and then going into the strategies. Among the infrastructure schools, 96% would like to repair sidewalks, and also 96% proposed increasing traffic law enforcement. And among non-infrastructure schools, we had provide signage, teach benefits of walking and bicycling, and again, increase traffic law enforcement. Those were the top strategies. And then I'll go through the tables just so you can kind of glance at some of the other strategies proposed. We categorized them into the area of the five E's. So the first one was engineering. And some of the most common, like I said before, was the repair of the sidewalks, and then also making the walkways accessible to students with disabilities. And then on the infrastructure side, new and improved signage, and then also repairing sidewalks, repairing crosswalks. Those were some of the higher percentages. For education and encouragement, training audiences about safe routes to school was one of the top, and teaching benefits of active commuting to school. And then here at the bottom, promoting safe routes to school in the community, both the infrastructure schools and non-infrastructure schools both highlighted that in their applications. Enforcement and evaluation. Like I said, increasing traffic law enforcement was a big one on both infrastructure and non-infrastructure sides. And then for evaluation, they mentioned things like counting the number of students walking to and from school, tracking the number of crashes, additional safety measures. And then the other important component was their action plan, and this is just a small table with the funding sources that they explained that they would possibly use. And so this was important because it shows that they're really thinking this through and how to fund these improvements through multiple funding sources and how to continue any efforts they have or sustain a successful Safe Routes to School program. So most of them said that they would use local or state funding to fund their projects. In conclusion, the health benefits and behavioral factors related to implementation of Safe Routes to School programs should be emphasized and prioritized. This is true for both types of applications, but it's especially important for the infrastructure applications where we were not really seeing this emphasized. Only around half of the applicants mentioned that health was the first priority, so we'd like to see that a lot higher and see schools really prioritizing health of the children. And then increasing the number of students who walk or bike to school should also be proposed as a solution. According to this data from the schools, all the non-infrastructure applicants did propose the solution, but only 72% of the infrastructure. And then last, safety on the routes to school should be a priority of all the school-related entities. Again, safety was listed as a priority for only 64% of the infrastructure and 21% of non-infrastructure applicants. That are prioritizing safety. We would hope this would be higher. If you have any questions, I have my contact information here or the two project leads. Feel free to contact us. And thank you for your time. That was kind of interesting because what the schools perceive as safety concerns were much different than what the parents concerned, because we did some parent interviews too. And the parents are more worried about illegal behavior around the school and violence or, you know, stranger danger type stuff. And the schools are more worried about, you know, sidewalks and accessibility and getting, you know, into the school safely and having routes that connect safely to the schools. Well, we talk about this as school applications because it's kind of just easier to think of it that way, but really the applications are coming from more community level, sometimes from a district, sometimes from like a city person. So they are kind of, a lot of them are a little more broad. Which ones increased active transport?
Yeah.
I don't believe we did that in this project. Do you have any?
We do have some follow-up data, but it hasn't been published yet, so that's kind of been in preparation right now. But there weren't enough differences in the different types of infrastructure. We're looking at it. And to be quite honest, the implementation of this wasn't great. So that's important.
Okay, thank you.